Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder at Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well today. How about you?
I'm doing great today. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we'll be talking about forgiveness as a behavior that comes with the joining of an individual with the divine. We will unpack the statement, to err is human, to forgive is divine. We will discuss the concept of karma, what we put out is what we get back. Swami will look at the concept of forgiveness of sin as opposed to forgiveness of trespasses. There is a difference. We'll explain the role of union with the divine in the process of becoming a compassionate human in the adult state. So, Swami, let's talk about forgiveness. Let's talk about to err as human, to forgive as divine.
Well, the first thing I do like to make is a clear distinction between forgiveness of trespasses as opposed to forgiveness of sin. That a trespass is an incident that I think can be excused. Sin had a very very different meaning behind it. Sin was really missing the mark. And it isn't an incident that could be excused. It's more of a condition that has to be changed. That we come in and we are drawing from the wrong energy field. And that's the sin. We miss the mark. And so for us to separate from our attachment to what it is that's safe, familiar, comfortable, and known, and join to something that is invisible and intangible is very different than this concept of forgiveness of sin, which, in my opinion, I don't even think is possible. That it's not something that can be excused, like if you bump into somebody and say, excuse me, it could possibly be a done deal. But this concept of forgiveness of sin is a much deeper dynamic. And the other thing is that I don't really think that there are many sins. You know, I think there's just this one sin. It's either you're drawing from particles or waves, or you're drawing from this indivisible unified field. And it's much simpler than we're kind of led to believe it is.
But we're so embroiled in our lives and the things that happen to us. So what about, all right, say for example, after 9/11, I was driving down Route 16 one day going north, and there was a sign that somebody had put in their front yard, and it said, never forget, never forgive. So we're talking about trying to forgive something that was such a horrible experience to humanity. How do we forgive something like that? I know what you're saying about drawing from the wrong energy field, but we still have to try to live, you know, in this physical body, in this physical world.
Yeah, I guess the whole thing that you really look at is, and I always look at like that statement that we mentioned in the opening, to err is human, to forgive is divine. And the whole thing of conversely, let's look at revenge. Let's look at the whole thing of what we're putting out is what we get back. And And the other thing is that, and I really don't want to go into 9/11 at all, mm-hmm. because it's really not what I would consider to be a good example, and the simple fact that maybe we really don't know what happened that day, who really brought those buildings down, that it's so concealed, it has been covered up and distorted so badly that. But the whole thing of being able to forgive is something that really comes with our connection to the divine. That it's like, again, if somebody does something to us, if there is this trespass, then as bad as it might seem, it's not the same as a sin, which is missing the mark. And part of that is that, you know, this life, the manifested world, is provisional. It's in constant change. The concept of the divine is eternal. It always was. It always will be. It's unchanging. So when the human is in the adult state, this concept of forgiving trespasses, I think, becomes easier. But again, it's not condoning bad behavior. People still have to be accountable. And there is a difference between good behavior and bad behavior. And the whole thing of, oftentimes we use this concept of being human as kind of like an excuse for why we make mistakes. Mm-hmm. It's a way of justifying the fact that I am resentful, I am looking to get even. Whereas the human in the adult state has a much broader sense of identity. They also have a sense of awareness of, like, what they're putting out is what they're getting back. Because what does resentment get us, if you really look at it? You know, I mean, you're putting out bad energy. And oftentimes what happens with that is that that's what we start to get back. And so there really isn't much merit in this whole concept of getting even. In fact, I think that was an expression I grew up with when I was young that was, I don't get mad, I get even. And it was a way of dealing with things along the lines of trespasses. But with regard to the concept of forgiveness, I think as your mind starts to open, as your identity starts to transcend the limits of just seeing yourself as separate, and the changing of your nature that happens with this internal connection makes this concept of forgiveness a completely different thing than just conduct, than just I'm going to let this go kind of a thing.
It sounds like what you have said to us before, like in our Series 2 classes, that, you know, we talk about how to bring yoga into our, you know, everyday lives. You have said many times that you can have feelings, but you have to have feelings with intelligence. So it sounds to me like we're talking about having forgiveness, but doing it with this sense of intelligence, and if we become this human adult state, this would happen naturally.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That the whole thing of being able to see things from a different perspective, being able to evolve your feelings and express your feelings with intelligence becomes your optimal position of performance. that, again, there's nothing wrong with being angry, and there's nothing wrong with being able to express that in a way that will minimize the retributions, your reactions to that. And oftentimes when we are emotionally responding to circumstances and situations, it's we're shooting from the hip kind of a thing. Oftentimes we overreact, or the other way that we do it too is sometimes we repress feelings. Sometimes we make these excuses. We excuse somebody only because we're afraid to confront them, which is equally as bad as if you overreact violently. So again, the whole concept of it's not so much the actual conduct itself, it's really my level of consciousness, my degree of awareness that's of the utmost importance, and to be able to perform in life and be able to express your feelings intelligently to minimize your karma, basically, what you're putting out, to regulate your karma.
I want to take a moment and talk about that this movie that we had seen called The Railway Man, and it was about a British officer and his troops that get they got held by the Japanese, and they were held in a POW camp in Singapore. Well, he ends up building a radio, and he did it just to try to build morale for his troops. But anyway, he ended up being tortured by a couple of these Japanese soldiers. And years later, decades later, he's still kind of traumatized about this whole experience, but he decides he's going to try to find this one Japanese soldier, and he ends up finding him. And I guess the real story goes that they came up and they had this correspondence and they ended up meeting, and he wanted to forgive him for the things that he had done, because he felt that in order for him to get over his trauma that he'd had, he had to forgive. And then they had become great friends after that. So my question to you is, does forgiveness and the art of forgiveness, does it actually help our psyche? Can it help us, you know, get through those trying times and help us physically and mentally and emotionally?
Well, to answer your question, yes. And the key, I think, to the whole thing is understanding our part in every situation, that there are no accidents, that we're ordering everything that's happening to us. So once you have a better understanding of that the university is on this pulse from subject to object, that there is an inner subjective state that creates this geomagnetic field that will cause the world to respond to us. So what we're creating or what we're ordering, granted it might not be conscious, it could possibly be unconscious or karmic, but on some level we have this inner subjective state that is creating it, and it's causing the outside world to respond to us. So when you have a broader sense of awareness, you have less of a tendency to blame others, and you kind of see your part in the whole thing, and maybe on some level there was a lesson that had to be learned in that situation. I mean, possibly the movie could have been about somebody who in a previous life was the Japanese soldier and tortured somebody else and had to be on the other side of that. And those are lessons that we are here to learn in this lifetime. So a big part of forgiveness, I think, is recognizing my part in any situation, because that becomes a different dynamic than if you are accustomed to just blaming people for what has happened to me or what they've done to me.
thank you for answering that. But I think we'll pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So, listeners, we will return with you shortly.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods. A complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Kriya Yoga Theory 1 live classes and videos. Get your arms around the spiritual science of Kriya Yoga.
You know, the intention of why we practice is to embody the spirit, to feel connected to the life force.
Kriya Yoga Asana live classes and videos. A cosmically engineered system of exercises to initiate apotheosis. A system of exercises engineered for dining and dancing at the cosmic ballroom. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 live classes and videos. A practice in open form designed to facilitate positive growth of consciousness. Get your labyrinth video.
I find the positive side of this is the same.
Kriya Yoga mantra and meditation. With repetition comes absorption. Pray on prana and become divine.
At the same time, we all have a unique talent and gift to give back to the universe.
Private session. The mysteries of the universe have always been handed down verbally from teacher to student. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or
www.iptransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, I have another question for you that was sent in to us, and the question is, does forgiveness lead to compassion, or does compassion lead to forgiveness?
Yeah, what came first, the chicken or the egg? It's a tough thing to say that. You know, we need the conduct to make the connection, but the conduct doesn't equal the connection. And so what comes first oftentimes, I think, is that we probably do have to start by forgiving, but by the same token, you want to recognize that it is the connection that's going to change my nature. Because forgiveness, coming back to like what we had said, forgiveness is not about condoning bad behavior. It's about recognizing I made a mistake. I erred. I am human by nature. And so now the whole thing is that I'm not yet divine by nature. So we can use circumstances and situations sometimes to be able to determine what energy field am I drawing from, what is my nature in a sense, so as opposed to just justify yourself for being where you are.
And we've talked about before in previous shows about animal nature, human nature, divine nature. So it sounds to me like a lot of it has to do with, like you said earlier, having a broader awareness of who you are and what is going on around you. So to me, it sounds like it really comes down to what you say is we have to think right about everything that's going on around us. And isn't that one of the first things that you say that we have to do to be on this Kriya Yoga spiritual path is thinking right?
Oh, absolutely. One of the biggest things I think today is that we don't even know that we have these options. We don't even know the difference between a human in the larvae state, a human in the chrysalis state, a human in the adult state. We don't make any distinctions that way. We kind of lump everybody up into one big category, and we're all equal. And it really doesn't play like that. in fact, a lot of us use this concept of being human to entitle us to make mistakes. Like, I'm supposed to. I'm only human. That's why they put erasers on pencils. You know, I mean, there's all of this cliche language that we use instead of using our mistakes as an indicator that I am not divine yet and I've got more work to do. But without leadership, without an understanding of there's a difference between a human that desires particles, a human that desires waves, or a human that desires the void or the nothing, it changes our nature, just like you said, that you could be of a low animal nature, you could be of an equally low human nature, but you can also be of this divine nature. And humans in the adult state are virtuous by nature. The concept of forgiveness is not that hard. And one of the things that we say here a lot is that there isn't anything that you read in the newspaper that any one of us, under the right circumstance, isn't perfectly capable of doing the exact same thing. But that is what develops into what you talked about, compassion. That we don't condone the bad behavior, but we recognize that everybody's doing the very best they can with what they know. And everything's going to be determined by your nature, what you desire. And without leadership, without an understanding of the difference between somebody who desires things that are tangible and visible, as opposed to somebody who desires things that are invisible but tangible, as opposed to somebody who desires things that are invisible and intangible. And there's a difference between worldly happiness, intellectual happiness, and eternal happiness. And these are some of the things that we really focus on in our programs.
So I know that you said that compassion is a divine quality, and we have to desire that void, the nothing, the divine, to become that. So some of the people that might be listening in for the first time, you know, I'm going to ask a question for them. Well, how do we become that? How do we desire the void, the nothing? What is the first thing somebody should do?
Give us a call. I mean, wouldn't it be nice if it was just a one-word answer, if it was that simple? And yet it is. Put God first. Use what you need to produce the feeling that you're happy. You know, Jesus said, love the Lord thy God with your heart, your soul, and your mind. The Buddha said, desire nothing. Now, of course, these are easy words, but when you start to unpack them and you start to understand that these are instructions to do something, then you need a plan. And that's where I found Kriya Yoga to be exceptional. Because these eight essential stages of yoga break down into practices to initiate a process. And your practices, where do you begin? Is skillful use of thought, skillful use of breath, skillful use of water, skillful use of food, skillful use of exercise. Because if you don't get the change in deep enough, if you don't change the pattern of your body, if you do not desire nothing, if you do not love God, then the change hasn't come deep enough. And nothing's really going to happen. And that's one of the things that I was able to recognize is the communities that we went to learn about this process in development, this apotheosis, this ability to become a human in the adult state, have failed. Our religions, the institutions that have taken over our religions have failed. They don't do what they're intended to do. And how do I know that? Because you can look and you can see the way they go about it. They're not using the body. They're not purifying the body. They're not refining the body. They're not preparing it for the inception of this other source of sustenance. It's more about donations.
Very good point. And it's not just changing your lifestyle. It's really, like you said, we have to change how we think and what we desire and even what we say. Like, it is a constant sense of awareness that we have to have. Like this morning you asked me, you know, how was your bike ride? And I said, not bad. So we have these, like you say, these cliche responses that now I have to turn around and say, well, how would I answer that as a person in this divine state? You know, it was a joyous bike ride, or, you know, the sun was shining over the water and it was beautiful, you know, but I said, not bad. What is that? So I guess we all need to be reminded of, it really is the little things that we think and that we say that can lead into this bigger picture.
Well, yeah, the whole thing of being on automatic and not tailoring your response, that our conscious minds have a tendency to be lazy. And so we're not engaged and we're not using these mental functions. But a big part of developing that and using it is that you get better and better at it, to the point where now all of a sudden it's like you're not mentally lazy anymore, that you're actually engaged and you're using your mental functions and you're processing your responses. And all of that comes with the practice. That's why your first four stages of yoga are practices. Your last four stages of yoga are the same practices experienced at a different level of consciousness, a different degree of awareness. Pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, they are different states of being. And pratyahara marks that phase where the conscious mind now rises above the reflex response. And when that happens, then you are at a different level of consciousness than you were if you were just being reactive and emotional. And it's, again, it's like anything else. The more you do it, the better you get at it. And so that's why concentration comes before meditation. That effortful work, then the meditative state is, even though it seems like it's spontaneous, it has the benefit of the mental functions.
Wow, great program so far. So I think it's about that time that we have to start closing down our program. So listeners, I'd like to ask you, if you like what you hear, if you could please share our posts from Facebook. You know, just one click or one like could really make a difference. We're trying to get the word out there into the universe, you know, trying to make a change and get everybody to elevate their levels of consciousness. So in closing, listen to our program every week. Visit our website. You can follow Swami on Pinterest and Twitter, obviously on Facebook as well. We also have online classes that are available on www.ipdtransform.com. But keep those comments, questions, and curiosities coming, because we do enjoy hearing from you. And be sure to tune in next week. I believe we're going to be exploring the new moon. Swami, any final thoughts or comments about our show today or next week?
Well, just keep forgiving. I think it will be much better than being resentful or trying to get even. And I think next week, we will be talking about the new moon in Cancer, because there'll be a whole stellium in Cancer and it'll be opposing Pluto and squaring Uranus. So it should be a powerful show. And with that, I will wish everybody a good day. Namaste. And I'll give it back to you.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. I am Lisa Winton with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.